Okay, Abigail, what is the other song you wanted to sing? Victory in Jesus? Alright. Number what? What's the number?
I thought she'd know that.
Hey, Abigail, would you come up and sing with me? Come on up and sing with me. I did this the other night, her daddy wasn't here. Not her dad. Alright, Victory in Jesus, we're going to sing. Everybody sing with us, okay? 812. All the way to that.
If you would tonight, take your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And while we're paging to get to Joshua 24, let me just say, if you've got a cell phone that's on ready to ring at any moment, you might want to just turn that thing off or put it on vibrate, whatever. You don't want to embarrass yourself in the middle of the service here. So get your cell phones off. And I need... You know what? This is on. Now, I think that I had it. That I just turned it on. Okay, it sounds like it's working good. Okay. All right, Joshua chapter 24 tonight. We want to look at Joshua's last words. His last words. And oh, how good they are. Now, the book of Joshua gives us the details of how the children of Israel came into the land of Israel and conquered it for themselves. Moses had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, as you know, with the plagues. And you know how Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. Finally, after the plague of the firstborn being slain in all the houses of Egypt, they let them go. Then they chased them. They changed their mind again and chased them to the Red Sea. And you remember the story how Moses, with his rod, lifted over the Red Sea and the sea parted. And the people of Israel walked through on dry land and onto the other side. And then the waters came over and drowned Pharaoh's army. And then the 40 years wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. Now that aspect is a type of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Passover lamb slain, his blood shed, that we might be delivered out of Egypt or out of the world. Have you been delivered out of the world? Or are you still a child of this world? Are you still a child of the devil? If you are, you need to be saved out of it. Who can save you out of it? Jesus can. He paid for your sins at the cross. And all you need to do is repent of your sin and trust him as your Savior. He makes you his child. You're saved at that point. Then the children of Israel needed to go in and conquer the land. This is a type of the Christian conquering and taking unto himself all the things that we have in Christ Jesus for this new life in Christ. Christians need to live a new life in Christ. And that new life and the power to do it is available to us through the same one who saved us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Joshua brought the children of Israel into the promised land and they conquered the enemies and actually slew the enemy and then they possessed the land, in a lot of ways spiritually, we possess what God has for us in our spiritual life in the same way. Battling for the Lord. That's why we sang that song tonight, Who is on the Lord's Side, to kind of give a little bit of a military theme to it. But we are in the battle for the Lord. And he wants to give us victories in our daily Christian walk. Well, they've conquered all the land and they've possessed it. And Joshua, now an old man, ready to die, he would be 110 years old when he dies, has a few words to say to the children of Israel before he passes on. And so in chapter 24, verse 1 through 3, let's take a look at that first. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves unto God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah. Now, the flood there is not Noah's flood, but the flood of the Euphrates River plain, the river plain. That's where Abraham's father and where Abraham dwelt before God called him out of Ur of Chaldee to come into the promised land. And so Joshua is referring to where they lived before Abraham came into the promised land. And so he says, Your fathers, in the middle of verse 2, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham. Now this is the Lord speaking. Joshua's talking, but he's talking on behalf of the Lord here when he says, And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. So what are Joshua's last words filled with here? First of all, details of God's help in ages past. Oh God, our help in ages past, we sing, don't we? And how God has helped us in the past. Oh, he has. Much of Israel's roots are rooted in, and listen to this word, paganism. Their roots were rooted in paganism. Terah, the father of Abraham, who would be, of course, the father of Israel eventually, lived on the other side of the Euphrates River in Ur of Chaldee. That was where Babylon was. That's where the Tower of Babel started and where God confounded the languages and scattered the people over the face of the earth right after Noah's flood. And, of course, much paganism, idolatry and worship of gods that men created themselves. And so Joshua is saying, Israel, you know what your history is? God called your fathers out of paganism and brought them out of them and revealed himself unto Abraham and gave Abraham a promised land for him and all of his children, which would include the people Joshua was talking about, talking to. Israel's roots in paganism. You know, let's bring this right up to the church age. Much of Christendom today, get a hold of this now, much of Christendom, and I'll put it in quotes, quote Christendom, because it includes a lot of things. When we say Christendom, it includes true Bible-believing Christians. It also includes false Christianity, which has developed down through the ages of the church age. When we talk about Christendom, we end up talking about true and false Christianity. And may I say, as we believe we are at the end of the church age, there is more which is false than that which is true in the Christian community or the Christian church of today. If you're not aware of that, then I guess I am the first one to make you aware of it. I would say do a little bit of study and see, open your eyes and see what's going on all around. There are churches on every corner, it seems, in so many of our cities. But why is it that true Christianity is not seen? And the effectiveness of Christianity is not felt? It's because within Christianity there's been a great departure from the truth. And yet they still call themselves Christian. You know what Christians need to do? If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you need to find yourself standing upon this book, the Word of God. I mean, that's where you're going to find Christianity. Much of Christendom is right out of paganism today. The holy days, many of them, Christmas, Easter, Hallowed Eve, or what is called Halloween, and All Souls Day, and All Saints Day. Someone was bringing that up this morning. You know what? Those holidays match up perfectly with pagan holidays. They're not found anywhere right here in our Bible. They're just matched right up with pagan holidays. How'd they get into the church? Because in the 4th century after Christ, Constantine declared that Christianity was going to be the state religion. Well, overnight, what did the state church have to do? They had to bring in all these pagans into the church and make them feel comfortable. And so what they did was they paganized much of Christianity. Rituals are from pagan religions. Listen to these. Holy Eucharist, where they actually say that they change the bread and the grape juice into the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that is nowhere found in the Scripture. That's a pagan rite and pagan ritual brought into the Christian church. Infant baptism. Were you baptized as an infant by your local church man and your parents made sure it was done? Were you baptized as an infant? I'm here to tell you that baptism was totally worthless. Okay? And it's not scriptural. It has no scriptural basis whatsoever. There's not a single account in the Bible where a baby is baptized. How did it get into the church? Folks, the pagans were baptizing their babies long before the time of Christ. They were baptizing babies. You say, you mean pagans baptized? Yes, they did. It was one of their rituals that they had as people would dedicate their babies to their gods. They would sprinkle them. And they would sprinkle them with holy water dedicated to their gods. How is it that this is in the Christian church? Folks, something has happened. Paganism has gotten into the Christian church. Processions. You notice we didn't have any tonight, did we? We didn't have the pastor come down with a cross you know, and come down the aisle here and have a whole bunch of altar boys behind them, a little procession or anything. Where is that in the Bible? It's not in there. It's not in the Bible for the church to be doing such things. And why doesn't your pastor tonight have long robes on and a hat that goes up like this and walking around with that, with those raiment? The best we can do is a suit and a tie. And that's all we want to do. Where'd all this come from? It didn't come from the Bible, folks. It came from paganism. And you say, why are you going through all this? By the way, candles being lit as prayers for the dead. If you're dead, and I hope you're not dead here tonight, if you're dead, it's too late. You can light all the candles in the world. Use up all the wax that you can possibly get in all the world. It is not going to do a single thing for your soul once you're dead. And quite frankly, it won't do anything for it even when you're alive. It's not a candle that saves. It's the precious blood of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who left heaven, came down, was born of the Virgin Mary, and walked among us, showed who he was by the miracles he performed, and then went to the cross. Though men thought they were getting rid of him, it was all timed just right that he would die in your place and my place for our sins. It wasn't a mistake that Jesus ended up on the cross. He came to die there. He came in love for your lost soul and died there for you. Know how he wants you to accept him as your own individual personal Savior. No lighting of candles or watching processions or being in services on holy days and all that. That's just not anything to do with the Bible and Christianity. You need to realize, wow, you mean God sent Jesus to die just for me and my sins? My answer is a hearty yes. That's true. He came for you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's get the paganism out of this whole thing. Let's make it clear and simple. Jesus died for sinners like you and me. At the age of 11, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, acknowledging my sinful condition, knowing that if I died like that, I'd go to hell. And oh, I can remember that night, having trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm now saved, folks, and going to heaven, and happy as can be. And not because I deserve it or I've done anything, I've kept any promises. No, Jesus died for this sinner boy. He died for me. And I trusted him, and I'm saved, saved, saved. How about you? Are you saved? You know the Lord is your Savior. Saved people need to remember what they have been saved out of or from. You know, if you were saved out of this paganistic Christianity, you ought to be shouting hallelujah tonight. You should be saying, amen, that's me. Boy, I almost went to hell thinking I was okay because I was baptized as a baby. And I went to communion services. And I showed up on the holy days, you know, Christmas and Easter. How is it people think that doing that's going to get them to heaven somehow? You know what? If you could get to heaven by doing all those things, then I have a question for you. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come and die on a cross, be buried, and 3 days later rise up from the grave, reveal himself to the disciples, and then ascend back to heaven? Why did he give us this word which tells us all about it? And it's been preserved down through all the thousands of years. And we have the message right here tonight. Why all that? If you could get to heaven by being good and doing the best you can, why the Bible? Why Jesus? Why the cross? Why the empty tomb? I'll tell you the reason. Because you need it. You need that Savior. You need that gospel story. And Christian, if you've been saved out of infant baptism and churchianity, you ought to be glad. You ought to be saying in your heart, boy, am I glad I got saved before I died thinking I was okay. God's deliverance of Israel. The reason why I went into that, because you're going to see, Joshua was going to say, Israel, God called you out of paganistic roots. Don't go back. Don't go back. You'll see it if I ever get there. You'll see it. All right? Verse 4 through verse 10. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Here God is still speaking through Joshua to the people. I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Remember Joseph, the story of Joseph down there? And then all the family went down there. And years later, they were in bondage. They were in slavery. Verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. That would be the Passover night when God brought them out. Verse 6, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came unto the sea. That's the Red Sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. Now, that wasn't too far back because Joshua was alive even at that time. And so some of the people that he was talking to could say, yes, we do remember how God brought us out of Egypt through the Red Sea. We do know how great our God is. They would have to admit that. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse. You remember Balaam and his donkey? Balak wanted Balaam, he was a prophet of the Lord, it says, to curse the children of Israel for him. But God was watching over the children of Israel. And when Balaam disobeyed and went and tried to curse the children of Israel, on his way, his own donkey pressed his foot up against the side of the wall. And Balaam was about ready to hit his donkey for doing that. And the donkey spoke and said, what have I done that you would hit me? The donkey spoke. You know, that actually happened. Oh, I don't know that a donkey could speak. God can make a donkey speak. God can open up the Red Sea. He had already done that. And the children of Israel walked through on dry land. He had already had Moses strike the rock, and out of the rock came water. And now this man was going to try and curse the children of Israel. God told him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And so God had to speak to him through his donkey. You know, sometimes even the creation knows better than man knows. That donkey obeyed God and spoke. I don't know how it happened, but he did. The amazing thing is that Balaam talked back to the donkey. That he actually carried on a conversation with his dumb ass. Imagine such a thing as that. Yes, how are you today? I'm fine. You know, back and forth with a donkey. Disobeying God, but God protecting his people. Watching over Israel. And Joshua is reminding them, the Lord's reminding them through Joshua's last words to them, this is what God did for you. You know, when he mentioned, called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you, they didn't have to hear the details like I just gave you. They all in their minds, yes, we do remember that. We heard the news about that. Verse 10, but I would not hearken unto you, unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. Yes, Balaam continued to go on, tried to curse the children of Israel, but every time he opened his mouth to curse Israel, blessing came out of his mouth. He couldn't help it. God would put words in his mouth that caused him to end up blessing the children of Israel. Verse 10 ends with, and so I delivered you out of his hand. There you see God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. I believe all of that we just read there, how God watched over the children of Israel and brought them up out of Egypt through Moses and the Red Sea, and brought them, helped them fight against the Amorites and the Moabites, and didn't allow Balaam to curse them, speaks of our own salvation from the world. You know, the day you got saved, God worked to bring you to that point. And then when you said, I will trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He brought you out of the world. He brought you out of the world and saved your lost soul and set you as a child of God forever with eternal life, sins forgiven, a home in heaven, and there you are, you're set. The world would try to curse you, but they can't. God's on your side when you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Where are you tonight? Where are you? Are you on God's side? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Are you sitting over there in the world, cursed? No hope. Oh, I hope you'd get saved. Then verses 11 through 13. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. Listen to this next verse. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. In other words, they didn't do it with their strength. Verse 13, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Here I see them entering into the promised land, conquering and possessing the land, a picture of our own inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus now that we're saved. How do we live the new life in Christ? God provides for us, takes care of our needs. The children of Israel had to go and possess the land. They didn't have a land to live in. They would still be wandering around if it weren't for God watching over them and giving them a land. You know, when you get saved, God doesn't just let you wander all over the place. He wants you to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He has given to us churches. He's given to us pastors and teachers and evangelists. He's given us the Word of God, a beautiful gift, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit that every single believer gets the moment you're saved. He comes and dwells within you. You say, where is He? He's in there. What part of my body is He? I don't know, but He's there. Is He in your leg, arm? Is He in your chest? Is He in your heart? Is He in your brain? Is He in your head? All I can tell you is that He is in you. He is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And He's never going to leave. He's never going to leave. You're secure in Christ Jesus. The children of Israel were secure. He brought them out of Egypt. And He wasn't going to lose them. He kept them. And isn't it interesting? Aren't the Jews still in existence even today? There they are over there in the promised land. And I believe God's going to start working with them again. We're getting down to the end times, folks. At any time, the church age is going to be over. We're going to be raptured out of here, and the Lord's going to work with Israel again. There are great things in store for those who know the Lord as Savior. We're going to see the great works of God take place. How about it? What side are you on? Are you saved and on God's side, or are you lost? You'll not enjoy these blessings we talk about. You'll not see these great things that are going to take place. But this entering and conquering and possessing the land. Notice verse 12, I sent the hornet before you. Oh, you know what? Did anybody ever tell you, I don't know, you Christians, you all want to go to heaven. What do you want to go there for? It's going to be boring there. It's not going to be boring to be with a God who would use hornets to destroy the enemies of Israel. Did you ever get a sting from a wasp? A biting, stinging wasp or hornet. You ever get one of those? They hurt. That hurts. How about two stings? You ever get a double sting? Some of you might have. Maybe you got more than that. What do you think that would do to you if not just a few, but hundreds of hornets were coming after you? You know what I would do? I would run. I'd try to run faster than they can fly and get out of there. That's exactly what the enemies of Israel had to do. They had to run and flee. And of course, being bitten like they were, many of them died. And God then gave the land to the children of Israel. That's how God helped them. You know, our God is not a boring God in any way. There are many other instances in the Bible where God does things that are just sometimes actually funny. They make you giggle a little bit.
and laugh a little bit. Whoa, God did that? He used the hornets? He used the donkey to talk? Yes. God's going to be a lot of fun to be with, I think, and for all eternity. And I'm not just saying, you know, like a Dorney Park kind of fun. I mean a real down inside your heart kind of, it's good to be with this God. I'm glad I'm a child of God. He takes care of us. He watches over us. And it's going to be good to be with Him. All right. Well, Christian, are you enjoying the blessings that God has for you? Are you possessing the land? Now, I've talked about this several times in messages in the past. We're supposed to get more of what God wants for us. We're to enjoy more of what it means to be a Christian. Enjoy the fellowship of the saints, singing, learning the Word of God, enjoying the doctrines of the Bible and learning them, applying them in our daily walk with the Lord. That's possessing the land. That's possessing the land. Loving the Lord more each day. Do you love Jesus now more than you did the day you got saved? How's your love relationship with the Lord? Is it getting better? Oh, it better not be getting stale. And for some that happens because we do not possess the land like we should. We don't enjoy the things that God has given to us. We're not letting the Holy Spirit guide us. We're not enjoying the Word of God. We're not reading it. We're not praying and talking to the Lord. We're not witnessing and sharing the gospel with the way we should. We're not living godly and seeking help to avoid sin and so forth. You know what? It will get stale. But if you do those things I just mentioned, there is joy in serving Jesus. There is. There's joy in serving Jesus. I encourage you to grab a hold of it and conquer it and possess it. Well, 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now you got to think in your mind's eye. He's got all the leaders of Israel standing in front of him. They've presented themselves unto God. And Joshua is saying this to them. In the rest of the verse, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are Joshua's last words. You would say, hey, he's getting old, ready to die. Why is he worried about serving the Lord? You know what? Joshua is going to serve the Lord all the way up to his last breath. To his last breath. Some of you are a little bit older here than some of the others that are here. What are you going to do? You're going to stop serving the Lord? Do Christians retire from the work of the Lord? No! They go all the way to the grave, like Joshua and others, serving the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Men, husbands, leaders of the home, I say to you, take Joshua's word and make it your word. Okay? Make it your theme in your home. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Houses get into trouble when the man of the house does not serve the Lord like he should. Trouble comes. And it will come. And it will come fast. And it will come in a destructive manner. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you've had trouble serving the Lord in the past, take the instruction right out of the Word of God tonight, right now, and say, all right, from this day on, I'm going to serve the Lord. No matter what. No matter what your situation, we're going to serve the Lord. Determine it in your heart. God will help you. He wants you to go in this way. It's not a struggle. It's not a hard thing. But it is a decision you've got to make. Notice what he says here. They had to fear the Lord. Notice verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Have an awesome respect for Him. And then down to verse 15. Choose you this day. A decision had to be made. Choose you this day. And then it says, the last part of verse 15, serve the Lord. Three things there. Fear, choose, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord. How about it? Where are you? Do you fear the Lord tonight? Or do you fear men? Do you fear government? Do you fear what they're going to do with the stimulus? Does that fear you more than what does God want for me? What does God's Word say I should do? How should I live my life? Should I live it for the Lord in the fear of the Lord? Choose you this day. Well, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go back to my old church where they had the pagan ways. They baptized me when I was a baby. They catechized me, mesmerized me, cauterized me, whatever those other eyes you could have. And I'll just hope that everything works out all right. Well, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods on the other side of the flood, or will you serve the God who defeated the Amorites with the hornets, who talked to that disobedient prophet with a donkey, who brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and who, under Joshua's leadership, conquered the land. There they were, possessing land and olive yards and vineyards that they hadn't planted. The enemy did all that, and they destroyed them and took them over for themselves. God gave it to them. Boy, that sounds pretty rough. You mean they killed all those other people and then took what they... That was a message about 15 Sunday nights ago. God did that because those people were wicked. And He used the children of Israel to judge those people in the land. But He destroyed those peoples and He gave all that to Israel. God saved you out of the world and He's given you the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, new life in Christ. And He wants you to enjoy the new life in Christ abundantly. Abundantly. Choose you this day whom you will serve, and then serve. You're doing that tonight. You came to church. Why? Well, because you wanted to see the pastor's handsome face. You're sick. Right? You need help. But you came why? We want to sing. We want to learn the Bible. We want to know how to serve the Lord better. That's why. Amen. That's good. Serving the Lord. And now you're going to leave and go out these doors into the world. What are you going to do? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Now, if you're not saved, That's where you got to start. You can't serve the Lord until you get saved. You can't live as a child of God to become a child of God. You've got to be born into His family. You do that by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's take our hymn books tonight and turn to number 496. The song is I Surrender All. Of course, that's what the believer needs to do too. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you've never... If I asked you tonight, if you died right now, do you know where you'd go? If you can't give a definite yes, I know where I'm going. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. The reason why you don't know is because you think maybe there's something you've got to do. Well, I'm not ready yet. When I clean things up in my house, then I'm ready to come to God. You'll never get there. You'll never get to that point. You've got to get saved when God calls you and works on your heart and says you're a sinner and you're going to hell unless you trust what my Son did for you on the cross. That's when you got to get saved. Right then. Don't put it off or make excuses or go back to trusting the gods on the other side of the flood, paganistic Christianity. You need to trust the Christ of the Bible. And so how about surrendering tonight? And if you'd like to do that, we'd like to help you trust Christ as Savior. Just step out from where you're at and meet me down front. I'll be standing right here. And we'll have someone help you trust Christ as your Savior. And you can go home tonight knowing, amen, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. God in His mercy and grace washed my sins away and gave me new life in Christ. Why don't you come as we stand and sing? Number 496, let's stand and sing. I surrender all. Why don't you come if you need to tonight? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love. and get this guy saved out of hell. Saved from hell, saved from sin, a new life in Christ. That'd be the greatest thing that could ever happen to this guy. So, let's pray for that. And again, good to see you all here. Joe and Chris, you're going to make it to that viewing, right? Is it viewing? Yeah. All right. All right. Dottie Bush may be getting closer and closer to that final day. She's in hospice care right now. Some oxygen necessary. And so you can just, going down, down, and down. And you say, boy, you're saying that right in front of Jim Bush. Jim Bush is the happiest guy on the earth in reference to this because he knows his mom's saved. She's saved, so it's okay. It's okay, you know. It's not really okay. I'm going to miss her, but it will be okay. It will be okay. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your goodness, for saving us, just like you did the children of Israel. It took a lot to save us. Your son's death on the cross, the shed blood. We pray you'd help Samer and David. May he get saved tonight and get this matter settled once and for all. Give us safety as we go our way. And give us a good week serving the Lord. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to fear you, choose you this day, and we're going to serve the Lord. May every household here serve the Lord. Every individual, single ones, everyone say, I'm going to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.